This morning, two stories from the nursing home, and then sandwiched in between, just a brief little sermon. First, I was in a nursing home, linoleum tile on the floor, wool blanket on the bed, little old lady sitting in a wheelchair. And it was the week of Christmas, and so I was reading to her from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas gospel, you know. Came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And I became aware that there was a quiet echo in that small room. Phrase after phrase was repeated. Swaddling clothes, no room in the manger. The Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I looked around. We were alone. And then it dawned on me that I was reading Luke 2 and she was reciting it. Later, we wondered how many times in her life had she heard or read those words so that they had become imprinted on her memory. Strangest, perhaps, is the fact that she probably first heard them and learned them in the Norwegian language. Now she knew it in English. Well, she had done exactly what David urges upon all of us in our text. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now here comes the sermon. The benefits of our Lord are worth remembering. You college students, in the next few years, you're going to learn megabytes and gigabytes of information. Sometimes you're going to stay up late at night. There will be mathematical formulas and historical dates and meaningless details. They'll all be swirling before you. And you're going to try to take that information and stuff it into your head, and you will hope that it stays there until the day of the examination. And once that's over, if some of that stuff leaks out and evaporates and you forget it, who cares? But forget not all his benefits. Especially this one, who forgives all your iniquities. It means forgives all your sins. Because the fact of the matter is that no matter how hard you study here, and no matter how much tuition you have paid, no matter how high your GPA gets to be, or how great the degrees are that you achieve, those things won't matter to you when you finally get to the point where you lie down on your own deathbed. Then only one thing matters, that he forgives all our iniquities. How could God forgive your sins? Well, only in Christ, who came to be your representative before God, who came to live a human life, but a perfect, sinless, righteous human life in your place, so that God could give you the credit for that life and declare you not guilty of any sins. Only in Jesus Christ, who came to be your substitute, who became responsible for your sins, really guilty of them, and was punished in your place at the cross so that God could forgive all your sins. And when that happened, then God raised Jesus from the dead as public proof to the world wide that he was satisfied. And that now, as far as he is concerned, all is well between him and what you and I know to be a fallen world. And now you and I possess all these great benefits from our gracious God, like forgiveness for our sins, and peace and grace, and God's goodwill and his presence in our lives. We have all those things through faith, which God the Holy Spirit created in us. What wonderful benefits God has granted to us in Christ. Now, here's the other nursing home story. It's another nursing home, another old lady, another season. And this woman had one time been a very bright, very active, sharp, full of good humor. But now, toward the end of her life, she found herself in reduced circumstances, burdened by failing health and embarrassed, really, by a failing memory. What had begun as simply forgetting the names of old friends from time to time had now deteriorated to periods of paralyzing confusion. And what made it worse was the fact that she knew what was happening. She knew what Alzheimer's disease was, and she was aware that she was drifting mentally farther and farther away from the shore of the real world. And she knew that the time would come, an advancing day, when she would slip beneath the surface, be gone for good. So I was with her during Holy Week, and I was reviewing with her the story of Christ's final week. And he had come to Jerusalem on a Sunday, and the people were so happy they threw their coats down on the floor. They made palm branches into a carpet for him to ride into town. Oh yeah, she remembered that. And then on Thursday he met with his disciples in an upper room. He instituted the sacrament of the altar. Yeah, I remember. And then he was arrested. And he was put on trial and condemned and convicted. They took him outside the walls near the garbage dump. They nailed him to a cross. He died. Oh my, she said. Tears filled her eyes. I realized she was in great distress. And so I hurried on. I said, but then 3 days later on Easter morning, he came back to life again. God raised him from the dead as the guarantee that our sins are forgiven and we're going to go to heaven when we die. She said, oh, I hope I remember that as long as I live. Well, I hope you remember this. As long as you live, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who forgives all your sins. For the sake of Christ's perfect life and his innocent death and his triumphant resurrection from the grave. You know, God has made such an adamant and a tenacious commitment to you that even if the time comes when he allows you as a Christian to lose your memory, then he'll remember you. He'll love you and forgive you and be with you. And then someday he'll take you to be with him. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Our prayer for today is a prayer for Easter. Let's pray. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit that he may rule and govern us according to your will. Graciously keep us in the true faith. Defend us from all sins, and after this life, raise us to eternal life. Through the same, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.